you want to follow along, is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star arise, and we have come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. "Where did the prophet say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet Micah wrote, 'O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come see him. At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. They entered the house. When they saw that star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother, Mary, were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went another way because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Is that coming through? Just. Okay, I'll talk loudly. It's all right. Sound man's had to be called away. That's all good. Oh, no, Esther's taken over. Well done, Esther. Very good. Hey, yeah, it's good to be together. Welcome. I'll just add my welcome to Sarah's welcome. It's great to see. Great to see the St. O's, corner over here. The powerful singing, the full of faith. I'm very impressed. I don't know how you got on there, the Davises, but, I can show you a light. Hey, we were sitting around our kitchen table. Well, it's, living room table, whatever table it is, to have food. And we were talking with some of the young adults, and I think some of my kids were there as well, and they said, "Man, everyone's having babies at the moment. There's just, everyone we know is having babies." And it's like there was this conversation going around, and then we started talking about gender reveals and that sort of thing. And I was looking as part of my chat today that this great revelation, today is Epiphany Sunday. And that's how we rejoice in that great revelation of God. And, I was looking at how do people show they reveal what kind of baby, what kind? That's not quite a nice way of putting it. whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And I was looking, as you do deep research when you prepare sermons, and the most interesting one I found was that there was this family that they gathered all their family and friends and they gave them all paint guns. Can you see where this is going? And they'd chosen the particular colour, green for a boy and purple for a girl, you know how it goes. So blue for a boy and pink for a girl, and they all together said, "Okay, you've got to choose someone and you've got to shoot them." So they sort of stood around, they aimed up at each other, and they go, "Pow!" And all the colours were the same. I thought, that's the most interesting way. I mean, I don't know whether I'm making it up or whether it was just YouTube, following. Anyway, other ones, they get piñatas, and you've got to smash the piñata open and the right coloured confetti stuff floats out and everyone goes, "Yay, it's a girl." Yes. We didn't actually know when we had our children. We didn't know whether they were boys or girls. We're quite happy that they were girls. I have to say that because some of them are in the room. But we didn't find out. But this is the great revelation of God. And interesting how last week we looked at how That revelation was given to shepherds, the lowest of the low, just out doing their thing, looking after sheep. And that was in Luke's gospel. And in Matthew's gospel, he talks about the revelation coming to the wise men or the magi. And these were philosophers, they were astrologers, they were searchers of truth, they were those people who would go and read and look at things, and they would watch the stars, and they were people who were kind of always kind of looking to see what was going on and getting a fix of what was going on, and they saw something that they thought, something is happening. And Matthew writes, it's interesting that Matthew writes about this. You know, in Luke's gospel, he majored on the shepherds. And there was a reason for that. And last week we talked about how they were, you know, the shepherds were just being faithful in what they were doing. And that they, I can't remember what I talked about last week, isn't it? Slightly sad. But we talked about the shepherds and what that looked like. And this week we're going to talk about a little bit about the Magi. And just some reflections from me as I was looking at the Magi and what that looked like. Because they would have been probably more than three. A lot of people just assume there's three because there's three gifts. What are they? They are gold. I don't need, I can sit down, you just carry on. And often, you know, you'd get up and you'd say, you know, the gold represents the fact that it was a kingly gift, and the frankincense was because it was part of the deity, because of the incense being burnt. And you'd talk about the myrrh being is it a spice? It's something like that. That would be about embalming and about death and the sacrifice that Jesus was going to go, and how that all fits really well with who Jesus was. And that's all true. But it's interesting that they are the gifts. There may have been other gifts, but Matthew highlights on these three because he wants us to see something in his gospel. See, Matthew in his gospel always wants us to see the fact that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. He is the King of Israel. He wants us to see the fact that he was also someone who would go through sacrifice with the myrrh. That he was also deity with the frankincense, that he was God. So Matthew tries to encourage us to see this as part of the picture. And you know, Matthew, he talks along the genealogy of God, of Jesus. And so he's trying to get us into the picture that Jesus is this historical person, but there is more to it than just what meets the eye. And that as he brings that sense of revelation to us, so Matthew focuses on the Magi. So this morning, I just want to spend a little bit of time and just a little bit of reflection. At this time of year, as I follow on from last Sunday when we talked around us looking at the new year and what that might look like, and have a look at some of the things that the Magi were. And I looked up to try to work out, how do you say Magi? You know, as a child, I always thought, oh, it's Magi soup. It's just like Magi soup. But no, apparently, there are two ways of saying it correctly. Go figure. Magi is the one I've chosen. If you feel like it should be something else, then when I say that, just say it in your head, okay? So the first thing that I just on reflecting on these Magi, they were a people who were aware of the times. They hadn't, you know, they would have probably been a group of people who would have known the Hebrew scriptures. That would have been part of their readings, part of their study, part of their research. They would have known about the stars. They would have known about probably lots of other cultures and religious things as well, but that was something they would have been aware of. So they may have been aware of Micah 5, where it talks about that out of Bethlehem there will be a king of Israel, which is what we read this morning, and Matthew adds that to his verses. So they knew their time and they knew their place. And I think in reflecting on a time that we come to as we start to look at what our future might look like for 1927. What is it, 2023? Seems weird saying it, doesn't it? 2023, as we start to look at, are we aware of the times that we're in? And I think we can look at that in a global sense, we can look at that in a church sense, and we can look at that in a personal sense. Are you aware of the times that we're in? You see, no longer is New Zealand a Christian nation. No longer is it that you have someone in the generation before you or your generation that knows about God because they went to Sunday school. When I was brought up as a child, almost everyone that I knew had some connection with church, or they went to Sunday school and they knew something about God. But we now have two or three generations who don't. And so us being the church of God, us being God's people in this space, we need to be aware that it's different. I need to be aware that it's not the same as when I was a child. And the things that work when I was a child don't necessarily work now. The way that we communicated the gospel in those days is different to the way that we do it now. Not that the essence and the truth of the gospel changes, but the way we communicate it has to be different. Because you can say things like sin, and people these days go, what? Whereas in my day, they would say, oh, you know, if you got sin, you need to deal with that. And they go, oh, yes, sin, I understand that because I've got a Sunday school background. So we need to change what that looks like. Because our young people have no connection, so many of them, of God. And we need to be aware as a church that we don't just carry on and do what we've always done, but we have to challenge ourselves to think, if we're going to be the people of God in this space that God has put us in the middle of Palmerston North, what does that look like? And does that mean we have to change some of the things we do? And I know that doesn't come nicely and easily to some of us at times, but that's just our reality. We need to look at what it means to be All Saints Parish in Palmerston North and be open and honest with the fact that that means we need to do things differently. And we look at our own personal life. Are you aware of where God has placed you? You know, every one of us have got a situation that we find ourselves in life. I remember when we had young children and the busyness and the tiredness. Do you remember that? Do you know? You don't need to remember it if you're in it. It's just full, isn't it? And so your capacity and your ability to do things is different. And when you are young and you don't have any connections or young children or family or even a partner, you're free. You can do what you like. It's a different stage of life. When as we get older, you know, I was emptying a... You always get a farm story. I was emptying a trailer of calf chips for our garden that one of our neighbour farmer friends dropped off. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll just open that. I'll just shovel that off. So I got my shovel and away I went, shoveled it off. And about halfway through, I was sitting there leaning on the shovel going, I can't do this like I used to. And as we get older, there are things we can't do anymore because our body starts to fall apart. And I wake up with my sore back and my hamstring and my knee and my ankle. I won't go any further. But as we get older, we're in a different stage of life. So we need to be aware of where we're at. But also in our Christian walk, we need to be aware of what is God calling us into and being aware of what is it that God wants us to be a part of. Where does God want us to serve this year? What does he want us to be involved with? Where does he want us to use our money? How does he want us to be generous? Who are the people he wants us to invest in? And so as we reflect on those things, we become more aware of the time and the space that God has placed us in. So that was my first reflection. My second reflection was that the Magi, were seekers after truth. It's interesting that even though they were probably Persian and didn't have any Jewish connection, they were seekers of truth and they wanted to find the truth, so they went after it. Are we seekers of truth? Or like me at times, I'm seekers of my most comfortable place. Because we've got to kind of let go of ourselves and go, actually, I need the truth. And I've got to be honest that over the years, I'm 60 next year, I've changed the way I've thought about some of the things that I've preached about. I first started preaching, my first time I preached, I was probably 17. And I look back and I think, oh my goodness, did you really say that? What were you thinking? And there's probably other things that I have preached and I go, actually, I don't know that I agree with that anymore. Because as I've got older, I've gained greater revelation. I've understood more. I've been shaped by the people around me. But I want to be a seeker after truth, not just happiness. Because the world would say, be happy, you're all good. But I want truth. And truth comes from God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So are we seekers of truth? So my third thing was that they listened to God, and they may not have even been followers of God, but they intuitively knew that there was a voice of God when God said to them, don't go back to Herod, go the other way. So will we listen to that dream? Will we listen to that little still voice that says, actually, this is what I want you to be a part of this year? Have we got our ears and eyes open and listening? And the fourth thing that I was just reflecting on is that they weren't influenced by those in power around them. They weren't influenced by Herod and what he tried to get them to do. But they actually acted in another way. And it's interesting, the things that try to influence all the time, you know, we see so much from our senses, there are eyes, our ears, everything is bombarding us to be influenced in a certain way. Buy this, be that, be fatter, be skinnier, be taller, be better, do something differently, you should buy this product. Constantly being bombarded by influencing. Politically, we should be, you know, this, you should think this, or you should think that, or you... And it becomes a polarizing exercise. And for me, I just get confused. I don't know who to believe anymore. But actually, we should be influenced by the Word of God. We should be influenced by God's way. We should be influenced not by what we see with our eyes, but what we know with our hearts. And that as God opens His truth to us, we would be influenced by Him. And therefore being prepared to stand against the tide. I don't know if anyone's watched the Chosen series, like it or don't like it, it's not really my point, but on at the beginning of each program, there's an image of fish swimming one way and then a coloured fish swimming the opposite direction. And as followers of Jesus, we're actually called to actually swim in a different direction than the world would swim. And we have to be strong enough in our faith and our knowledge of God to know that we can actually walk against the tide and still be okay because God is with us. And I think it's interesting because Jesus did that, didn't he? He didn't just bow to the influences of those around him, but he went in a different direction. But you know what? He didn't react in a militaristic rebellion. But his rebellion was out of grace, compassion, love. And so often we end up fighting the wrong things. We end up fighting the politician when it's the spirit of the politician behind it. It says in Ephesians that we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers. You see, we're part of a spiritual world. And so often we attack the person instead of going, there's a whole thing here going on that's they are actually in a broken state themselves and they are lost. And you know, most people are trying to do their best, even if it's misguided. Maybe that's my sense of naivety. And I'm not saying there aren't people in the world who are trying to cause havoc. But so often we try to do it in that sort of rebellious, angry way. But what did Jesus do? He came with grace and love and peace, and yet he was strong against the very thoughts and the patterns of what the world was saying. And instead of being the Messiah, the revelation of the great Messiah that would come and save Israel from the Romans, he was saying, here is a Messiah that is for all, who will bring salvation to all men. Here is a God who's going to come in love and peace and grace and undermine the rebellious in that way. And I'm not saying we shouldn't stand up for what we believe, but I think sometimes we need to do it in the sense of a godly manner. and to do it with the strength of being able to stand tall and stand against those people who are saying things that we would disagree with, but doing it in a way that isn't attacking the person, but is attacking the ideology or the idea. So as we come to this time of the year, can I encourage us that we be aware of the time and the space that God has placed us in? That we know what that looks like. That we would know what it is to be searchers after truth. That we have time to listen to the word of the Lord to us in that quiet, small voice. That we wouldn't be swayed by those who influence us around in our physical sense, but we would be shaped by the word of God and prayer and those men and women of God around us. So that we would be the people of God that he's called us to be for this time and this place that he's put us here for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you are the Almighty God. Lord Jesus, everything holds together in you. Thank you that you do hold all things together. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that you are faithful and true. Thank you that you are the Almighty God. And we choose to step into you today. We choose to give you today the place and the space and the time and history that you've given us. Right now. And we choose to stand tall, trusting in you, knowing that you are the one who holds it all together. And that no matter what happens in our circumstances this year, we can trust you to be with us, dwelling with your people as you have promised, God Emmanuel. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.